Word of our God, and this afternoon, going back to Galatians, where we've been hearing Paul's instruction, calling the Galatian Christians back to the gospel that he had preached to them not all that many years before, and a gospel that they had veered away from very disastrously, becoming preoccupied by external things and becoming persuaded that they needed in some way to add to the works of the Lord Jesus in order to secure the favor of God. Paul's calling them back to the truth of the gospel. Paul is fleshing out for them the implications of the true gospel for their congregational life. And as we observed last Lord's Day evening, we have reason to be concerned that their legalistic, competitive mindset was wreaking painful havoc in their congregational fellowship. And Paul directs them again to the sweetness of the gospel. This evening we're going to read Galatians 5:26 through chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians 5, verse 26 through Galatians 6, verse 5. Listen, it's God's word. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we hear your word, we ask now that you would give us understanding. And in addition, we pray that you would give to us the ability to focus and concentrate. This has been a full day, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the mercies and the kindnesses that we have enjoyed. We pray that you would strengthen us just now for this short time, that we might profit from your word, and that through tiredness, we might not through tiredness fail to take advantage of the gracious truths that you have for us. So we pray that you'd be with us this afternoon, with speaker and with hearers alike, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, our passage, Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. Let me remind you what Paul has said. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own works, and then his reason to boast will be in himself and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. And of course, as we hear Paul write those words, the question that comes to our minds is to bear or not to bear. That is the question. Because in verse 2, Paul tells us that we are to be bearing one another's burdens. And in verse 5, Paul tells us each will have to bear his own load. And we wonder, Paul, which is it? Which is it to be? It seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it? People say to you, well, Scripture contradicts itself. Doesn't the Bible contradict itself? And we read these verses and we think, well, I don't think it contradicts itself, but what's Paul telling us? And in fact, when we look more closely at what Paul's saying, it all becomes clear. What seems to be a contradiction becomes more clear when we look closely at the language, and we should be comforted by that. There are passages in Scripture where at first blush it's hard to see how these two fit together. God's word is a seamless garment. It all fits together seamlessly to form one perfect whole. In verse 2, Paul talks about bearing a burden. In verse 5, Paul talks about bearing a load. And you might say, well, surely those two things are the same. But in actual fact, Paul uses two different Greek words. And in verse 2, the word that he uses for burden is a word that has the idea of a crushing weight. We might speak of something as being burdensome. And when we speak of something as being burdensome, we're not meaning that it's heavy, that it has mass to it, that it's got weight to it. We speak of it as being something that is oppressively heavy. And then in verse 5, Paul uses a different word, the word that's translated in English as a load. And that word in Greek is a word that's commonly used to describe something that the bearer is designed to carry and is able to carry. It's the word that's used of cargo that's carried in a ship. It's suitable for the ship. Or in more personal terms, it's the word that might be used to describe a pack, a backpack that's carried by an individual. Maybe what a soldier might carry. Something that's tailored to the individual's abilities. Something that's tailored to their strength. Something that's personal, that's individual, that's portable, that can be borne. And in fact, that should be born. And we heard the Lord Jesus speak to us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Actually, the Greek word that's used there when Jesus speaks of his burden, it's speaking of that that load that's easy to carry, that's suitable, that's capable of being carried. It's a light, suitable burden for someone to carry. So with that little bit of background, let's come back to our verses, and let's look at our verses. In verse 2, we're going to see the burden that we share. In verses 3 and 4, we're going to see the reason you care. And verse 5, we're going to see the burden you bear. There's a bit of alliteration there. At this time in the afternoon, I need all the help that I can get to be able to remember where we're going. So the burden you share, the reason you care, and the burden you bear. Bear one another's burdens. That's verse 2. Paul says, bear one another's burdens. Here is the burden that's to be shared, because it's the burden that's too big, that's too heavy, that's too weighty for one individual to bear by himself or by herself. It's the burden that needs to be team lifted. And you've seen those great big cartons in the store, maybe the furniture store, those great big cartons and that logo that's stamped on them, and it says team lift. Don't try and lift this by yourself. You're not going to be able to lift it by yourself. That would be foolish. That would be difficult. That would be dangerous. It might even be impossible. You need help with it. Paul says, brothers and sisters, bear one another's burdens, and in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. And John Stott points this out. Stott says, notice the assumption that lies behind this command. The assumption is that we all have burdens, and that God does not mean for us to carry them alone. You are a burdened person sitting among a community of burdened people. And Paul says you have a responsibility to look for ways to carry the burdens, the difficult weights that your brothers and sisters have to bear. Now, there's a sense in which we look first of all to God for help. We look to God as the one who provides help and strength. Remember the Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. You remember Peter picks up on that on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where he says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So we bring those burdens to God because they're too heavy for us to carry. But sometimes the ways in which God provides for our burdens to have the help that they need is by providing brothers and sisters who are going to help us bear those burdens. And that's what Paul's saying here. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, the law that's summarized in love one another. And in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. Paul gives an example of that himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Where Paul is describing how he has been crushed by the responsibilities of ministry, the crushing load of responsibility for the churches, the crushing weight of opposition. And Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6 to say, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And hear what Paul's saying. Paul says, we were being crushed, and God helped us. And how did God help us? God helped us by sending Titus. Titus came to share the burden, the crushing weight of the burden that Paul was experiencing. And so we might look to apply what Paul is telling us by looking around at our brothers and sisters and the burdens that they're bearing and asking ourselves, is there a way that I can team lift with that brother or sister? And it might that might take a multitude of forms, maybe caring for their children, babysitting, so that mom and dad can have some time together, maybe providing a meal, maybe offering to help the deacons with some of the tasks that come to them, the set up for the Lord's Supper, the helping people who are moving, relocating, helping some of our seniors with their yard work, providing a ride, giving transportation from the Silver Spring Metro Station perhaps here to the place where we gather for worship, sharing in the ministry, offering ourselves as, to be a classroom assistant, offering to spell one of our teachers, or maybe just drawing alongside someone to give them a hug, to assure them that we are praying for them, that even though we might not be able to do anything else, we can pray. Are you weak or heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We pray to God, but we also look for ways to bear one another's burdens. Martin Luther says a Christian must have strong shoulders and mighty bones so that he or she can help bear one another's burdens. And he's elaborating. He's explaining the general principle, or he's expounding on the general principle in verse 1, where we're to care for one another, where we're to be mindful of one another's needs. And in sharing one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus, who says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So share one another's burdens. Look for ways to do that. Why care? Why bother? Well, Paul talks about that in verses 3 and 4. And of course, remember the background to what Paul is saying is a background in the Galatian congregations where there's a lot of competitiveness. Where people are trying to demonstrate that they are better than others, they're able to do better than others. They compare themselves to other people, where, as we've said, it's a kind of a shark tank where people are trying to get ahead and show themselves to be better than their brothers and sisters, maybe even looking for opportunities to tear down their brothers and sisters. Why do we care? We care because when we were weak and helpless, Jesus cared for us. When we were needy and helpless, the Savior came to our rescue. And so Paul says in verse 3, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Don't be trying to impress others with the things that you do. Don't be comparing yourself to other people. The comparisons that either flatter or crush. Instead, says Paul, you be responsible for serving others by bearing their burdens. John Calvin says, since there's nothing worse than being deceived by others, it's completely absurd that we should deceive ourselves about ourselves. In other words, Paul's saying, you should see yourselves as servants of others. Seek to serve them. Don't be comparing yourself to them. Look for opportunities to serve them and bear their burdens. Why do we care? Well, because we've come to share the mind of Christ. And so in verse 5, Paul talks about the burden you bear, the burden that you need to be bearing, that you should bear. Verse 5, he says, each one will have to bear his own load. Now, remember what we said about the language that Paul's using. The Greek term that Paul uses is a term that describes a load that is suitable, that's convenient, that's adapted to the person's abilities and to their limitations. Where's Paul going with this? What Paul's saying is this: you have certain responsibilities that are yours and yours alone. Now, you might think of examples of that. Some of those are obvious. If you are married, You have a responsibility to your spouse that no one else is able to meet and fulfill. That responsibility is yours uniquely and yours alone. That faithfulness in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, that is your responsibility. That is yours to bear. You might think of other responsibilities then that are related to that. The children that God has blessed you with, you have a particular, unique responsibility to parent those children. It may be that the Lord has called you to a particular aspect of service in His church. You might be here this afternoon as a deacon. God has given you particular responsibilities in that office. It might be that you are here as an elder. God calls you to particular responsibilities. He calls the pastor to particular responsibilities. It's good for us as a congregation to recognize that there are some people who have particular special responsibilities, their burdens to bear. But it's good for us also to keep in mind what Paul has told us in verse 2, that we're to bear one another's burdens. Because, well, let me give you an example. I can remember many years ago here at Knox when the session was small in number, when we had a great big board of deacons. And I remember the deacons coming to the elders and saying, "Brothers, are there things that you are doing as elders that we might be able to do in order to free you up to do the things that you as elders and only you as elders are able to do?" That was a wonderful thing. And sometimes it's a wonderful thing when people speak to me as a pastor and say, "Well, you know, are there things that we as your fellow elders might do in order to relieve some of your burdens so that you can do the things that only the pastor is able to do?" Because you see, there's some callings and some responsibilities that are unique. There might be someone who is called to a particular area of service that, well, that's not a calling that you share, but perhaps you can support them in it. The Lord calls certain people to the mission field. He calls certain people to ministry. He calls other people who are not called to the mission field, who are not called to ordained ministry, they are called to support such people. Sometimes the Lord calls people to that support role. He may not call you to be a preacher, but He calls you to be supportive of someone who's a preacher. He may not have called you to the mission field, but He calls you to be supportive of someone so they can do that particular work that only they can do. You think of some of our brothers and sisters in the congregation who are strongly gifted and serving in a particular area where, well, you might just not be gifted to be able to serve in that area, but you might go to that person and say, I appreciate what you're doing. Is there something that I can do to take some of your burden elsewhere so that you're freed up to do the things that you're so good at doing, that the Lord has gifted you to do? So Paul says we're to bear one another's burdens, but there are certain burdens that are stewardships that are entrusted uniquely to certain individuals, things that we just can't farm out to other people. Yes, somebody else may end up doing those things, but they were your responsibility to do. So it's good for you to look around and ask yourself that. Sometimes we get so distracted doing other things that we neglect our wives, we neglect our children. The responsibilities that are uniquely ours, we're delinquent in them because we're doing things that other people might do. So there are certain responsibilities. The load that is your responsibility, that's tailored to your circumstances, to your abilities, to your limitations, the load that's like a backpack that you are able to carry. And you might, maybe you've gone shopping for a backpack, maybe you've been going hiking or something, you've gone shopping for a backpack, you've tried on different ones, or this one's too big for me to carry, and this one digs into me just so, and the straps on this one, they're not right. And then there's the backpack that you can load it up and you can carry it with ease because it's your backpack, and it's perfectly suited to your abilities. That's what Paul's talking about here. Those burdens that are uniquely ours to bear, but the reminder that There's sometimes we can share one another's burden, but let's not be, let's keep in mind that we shouldn't be comparing the loads that Paul's talking about in verse 5. And let me just quote Philip Ryken, quoting Martin Luther. And here's what Ryken quotes Luther as saying. Luther says, a faithful Saxon, that's okay, church caretaker. A faithful church caretaker is no less pleasing to God with his gift than is a preacher of the word, for he serves God with the same faith and spirit. This is true because God will not judge Saxons on their ability to preach or preachers on their ability to repair the church. God will judge each of us on the basis of our calling, our gifts, and our obedience. So do your own work. Do it without comparing yourself to anyone else, and do it well, because one day you will have to answer to God both for what you have done and for what you have left undone. The Lord Jesus calls us into his faithful, obedient service. He says, come to me, learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus says that to you because Jesus, in his body, on the tree, bore the crushing weight of the penalty of your sins. We thought about that crushing weight of sin this morning in our prayer of confession. Jesus bore that crushing weight on the cross in order that you and I might have a light, easy yoke of service to bear in honoring our Savior. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would give us grace to digest the implications of what Paul's saying to us here. We pray now that you would continue to refresh us, that you'd be with us for the remainder of this your day. And we ask, Lord, that we might profit from all the good things that we've experienced today, the fellowship, the worship, the ministry of your word, all these good things. We ask that they might be abundantly to our profit, that Jesus might be honored in our lives. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Our final praise this afternoon, hymn number 629. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hymn 629, will you rise to sing praise?